Exodus, chapter 32. God's covenant with Israel. There are many covenants mentioned in the Bible, but there are two which stand out prominent and sustain such a relation to each other that they are called the Old Covenant and the New. Our lesson has to do with the Old Covenant, but we shall refer to the New, since both concern the same people and the same thing. The covenant is first introduced in the 19th chapter of Exodus, and we must study that in order properly to understand the passage covered by the lesson. The children of Israel had come into the wilderness of Sinai, and the Lord called to Moses from the mountain, saying, "You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak unto the children of Israel." And Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together, and said, "All that the Lord has spoken we will do." And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. This was really the first, or old covenant. It was simply a mutual agreement between God and the people, which is all that is usually understood by a covenant. So far as the covenant itself was concerned, the people entered into it here. This verse simply records the ratification of the covenant. The reader will notice, however, in the above quotation, that although the people said, "All that the Lord has spoken we will do," the Lord had not yet told them anything to do, except to keep his covenant. Now ordinarily a covenant implies mutual obligation, but here we have a covenant mentioned which was the Lord's special property, and which the children of Israel were to keep, and their promise to keep this covenant was their part of the covenant which God made with them. Thus we see that the first covenant with Israel was made concerning something else that is also called a covenant. The student needs to watch closely here, lest he become confused. The simple facts are these: the covenant, which the people were to keep, was the Ten Commandments, which had not yet been given. It was not a covenant made with them, but God's own covenant given to them. Moses refers to it as follows: "And the Lord spoke unto you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only you heard a voice. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments, and he wrote them upon 2 tables of stone. Let the student bear in mind these points, and he will have no difficulty. 1. The 10 commandments are God's covenant. 2. God did not make this covenant with the children of Israel, but he commanded them to do it. They were to keep it. 3. This covenant is entirely different from a covenant in the ordinary sense of the term, for there was no agreement about it. It was God's will which he commanded the people to do. 4. Notwithstanding the fact that it was the duty of the people to keep God's law, his covenant which he commanded them to perform, God made a covenant with them concerning it. Although he could rightly have required unconditional obedience of them, he condescended to enter into covenant relation with them, if they would promise on their part to keep his covenant, the 10 commandments, as was their duty. He on his part agreed to grant them peculiar blessings. This mutual promise, this contract, was the covenant which God made with Israel. 5. Observe then that God's covenant lay behind the covenant which he made with Israel. It was the basis of that covenant, the thing concerning which that covenant was made, but was entirely distinct from that covenant. 6. And lastly, remember that when they entered into the covenant with God, promising to do all that the Lord commanded, they had not heard God's covenant which he commanded them to perform. In short, they made a covenant, without knowing what it was which they were promising to do. 3 days after this the Lord spoke his law from Sinai, out of the midst of the fire, of the cloud, and of the thick darkness, with a great voice, which caused the earth to tremble. This was the covenant which he commanded the people to perform, and which they had already promised to keep as their part of the contract. And now that they had heard the words which they had before promised to do, it remained to be seen if they would stand by their agreement. This ratification is a part of the subject of this present lesson, and was on this wise. 1. First, Moses repeated God's words to the people, and all the people answered with one voice, and said, "All the words which the Lord has said will we do." 2. Then Moses wrote all the words of the Lord in a book, and built an altar, and offered sacrifices. 3. Next he took the book and read all the words in the hearing of the people, and again they said, All that the Lord has said will we do, and be obedient. 4. Finally he took the blood of the sacrifice and sprinkled both the book and the people, saying, Behold the blood of the covenant, which the Lord has made with you concerning all these words. Thus was the covenant ratified. The people had emphatically and repeatedly promised to keep God's commandments, and he had promised to make of them a peculiar treasure to himself, above all people. This was the first covenant. But this covenant was not kept by the people, and so one of two things was necessary. Either God must cast off the people, which would have been their eternal ruin, or else a new covenant must be made. Accordingly we read, Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke, although I was a husband unto them, says the Lord, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Notice that this covenant was made with the same people that the first one was. With the house of Israel, and with the house of Judah. Let this fact be firmly fixed in the mind. Many people imagine that the first covenant was made with the Jews and the second with the Gentiles. But this is a great error. God never made any covenant with the Gentiles, and never gave the Gentiles any promises. Paul says that to the Israelites pertain the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises. The Jews have everything. Then what is left for the Gentiles? Nothing whatever, says the same apostle. Wherefore remember, that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But are the Gentiles shut out from salvation? Yes, as Gentiles. So long as they remain Gentiles, which is but another term for heathen, they have no part in the things of God. Thus being reconciled to God, they are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God. And their citizenship is in heaven, from whence they look for the Savior. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Note further that the new covenant is made concerning the law of God. This time, says the Lord, I will put my law in their hearts. Then since the new covenant was made with the same people that the first was, and concerning the same thing, why was there any necessity for making it? Why could they not go along under the old one? Simply because the people had broken the first covenant, and there was in it no provision for any such thing. The first covenant was unconditional. The people promised to keep the commandments, and God promised to make them a peculiar treasure unto himself. This was all. It will be readily seen that when the people violated their agreement, as they did almost immediately when they worshipped the golden calf, they had no more claim on the Lord, according to the covenant which they had entered into with him. They couldn't go on under that covenant anymore, for no matter how perfectly they might abide by its terms in the future, the fact would remain that they had once broken it, and that was sufficient to forfeit all the blessings which God had promised. So, since the Lord did not wish to cast off his people, it became necessary to make a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. What were these better promises of the new covenant? Chief among them was the forgiveness of sins. It was in the people that the first covenant was faulty, for if the first covenant had not been faulty in this respect, there would have been no place for the second. There was in the first covenant no provision for forgiveness of sins. It was ratified by the blood of beasts, which could never take away sin. But the second covenant was ratified by the blood of Christ, which takes away the sin of the world. This covenant is made concerning the same law, but if people break it, they may by repentance obtain pardon, and so still remain in covenant relation with God. This is a wonderful exhibition of the mercy and love of God. 1. First he consents to make a contract with the people, concerning that which it is their duty to do, and then 2. He provides pardon for them when they have not only failed to do their duty, but have also violated their agreement to do their duty. Surely love could go no further. One thought more. Someone may wonder if God didn't know that the people would break that first covenant. We reply, yes. He not only knew that they would not keep it, but he knew that they could not keep it. In fact, they had broken the commandments, concerning which the covenant was made, before the covenant was made. It was utterly impossible for the people to keep the commandments by their own unaided efforts, yet that is what they promised to do. Then why did the Lord lead them to make such a promise? For the purpose of showing them their own weakness, and of directing their minds to the second covenant, which already existed, in effect, in the covenant made with Abraham. That covenant was confirmed before of God and Christ, and the giving of the law, and the unconditional promise made by the people to keep that law, could not disannul it, that it should make of none effect the promises which it contained. It provided forgiveness for transgression of the law concerning which the covenant was made, and also helped to keep the law. And so when the Lord made a new covenant with Israel, he was simply directing their attention to the covenant made long before with Abraham. And the proof of this is found in the fact that all who are heirs of the promises are children of Abraham. E.J. Wagoner.